My name's Deepak Reju. I am the Associate Pastor for Biblical Counseling and Families at Capitol Hill Baptist Church. It's my privilege to spend the next hour talking to you about developing a culture of discipling, just so you know a little bit about who's talking to you. There you see my posse, my wife Sarah, and then I have five kids. So more so than just a pastor, I'm a father of five, and my primary discipling obviously comes in the home. Our congregation, if you picture that scene on the news of the Capitol building, U.S. Capitol and down East Capitol Street, well, that scene is basically out our front yard. We are literally five blocks behind the U.S. Capitol building. Consequently, we have a lot of people who work in the government, and unfortunately, pretty high percentage of lawyers in our congregation. It's one of the downfalls of being in Washington, D.C. I love lawyers. If there's anybody in the congregation who's a lawyer, no offense there. Well, let me pray for us, and then we can launch into our topic. Lord, thank you that you give us your word. And through your word, we are reformed. You change us to be like your son. So we're going to spend this hour trying to think, Lord, about how we can change entire churches, what a culture of discipling in a congregation can look like. And we can't do that without your help. And so we pray that you would help us. And we pray in your son's name. Amen. Well, we want to think about a culture of discipling, of what it's like to change an entire church. But we need to think about on the one-on-one level first, what is discipling, what it looks like for one Christian to invest into another. I want to start with basically a definition of discipling to just set the pace for what we're thinking about together. But, you know, a step back for a moment and just say, you know, most everything you do in a local church involves discipling in some sense. So your prayers, what you do in worship, the preaching, singing, you know, fellowship time, all of that in some sense is discipling. It's investing in other Christians. But we're going to think specifically in traditional terms, the one-on-one ministry of one Christian to another, and then we're going to think in terms of how a congregation as a whole can develop a culture of that together. So you see the definition there on your handout. What is discipling? If we put it in a sentence, discipling is the intentional encouragement and training of disciples of Jesus on the basis of deliberate, loving relationships and training in God's word. Or another way to say it, just a little bit more simply, and you need to jot this down if it's not on your handout if you want to, doing spiritual good for the sake of helping someone grow in Christ. Doing spiritual good for the sake of helping someone grow in Christ. That's what we're thinking about here. And just a couple of the elements of those definitions, you know, it's intentional and deliberate, so not haphazard. We are setting out to do others good and planning that as a regular part of our life. And it's encouragement. We all need encouragement to survive the Christian life. And so, of course, we need other Christians to help provide that for us. We're thinking about Christians. This is not just some general moral reformation. The end goal is to help people look more like Christ. And so if it's just morality, that's not good enough to be Christianity. They need to look like our Savior as they continue to grow in Him. And then loving, to care for someone's soul in this way, I would argue, is love. That's a fundamental part of what it means to be a Christian, and then it's relational. We're not just going to stick a video in Sunday school and let that be sufficient for the Christian life. We want people to walk alongside of us so that we can learn what it looks like to be a Christian. And then, of course, it has to be grounded in God's word. God's word will define the parameters for us for what it means to live as a disciple and to disciple one with another. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you turn with me to John chapter 15. One place where we read about the nature of love between Christians is the Gospel of John. And in John 15, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And, you know, he goes on to describe to us what love can look like and some of the implications of that. And I want to trace some of these out. So I'm just going to point out a few verses. I can't go through the whole text. But I want to point out a few verses that helps us think about Jesus' love toward us and then consequently the implications of our love towards one another. And what that would look like if Christ's love defined how we then love each other. I'll just pull out a couple of words that I put there on your handout. Intentional, purposeful, relational, joyful, and normal are the five words I'm going to go after. So John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." There you have intentional. Jesus did not merely stumble on the disciples. He was very deliberate when he called them out, asking them to be a part of his following the Savior. He took initiative, loving initiative. He chose them. And just as he does, we seek to show initiative with other believers. We're not passive or haphazard, but deliberate in doing that. Christ-like love is not passive. It actually takes initiative with others. The second half of verse 16, he says, "And appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So Christ's love for his disciples is purposeful. He had something in mind, to bear fruit for God's glory. And so it's not temporal, it's not merely sentimental, but it actually has a wonderful God-glorifying agenda, to go and bear fruit that will last. Verse 9, you see, "As the Father has loved me, so I will love you." And then verse 15, "Instead, I have called you friends." So relational. Jesus' relationship with his people is one of a loving friendship, even though he is infinitely far more above them in majesty, in honor, and dominion. And yet, he would stoop down and have a loving relationship with us. That's the essence of the incarnation. God becomes man and he dwells among us, as the Gospel of John tells us. So he has a loving relationship with us. Now, you know, it is easy, because I'm talking to a room full of counselors or want to be counselors, to make our friends projects as we help them with their problems. To just turn them into just another part of our checklist. So that's where this relational element becomes important. If there is not a relationship at the center of what you're doing with them, then stop. Don't turn them into a project. As soon as you feel like you need to do that, you need to get somebody else involved so you don't do that to them. Because they know. They certainly know if you've turned them into a project or a part of their checklist. And then joyful, verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus' purpose in his instructions to love one another is that we would know his joy. Caring for other Christians is purposeful and setting out to encourage them, and it can be very hard work. It's wonderful work, but according to Jesus, it's also joy-producing work. Now, counseling isn't easy. If nothing else, there are many days where it feels much harder than it does joyful. And yet, if we look at Christ's words, there is joy in investing in others to help them look more like Christ. And then verse 15, "My command is this, love each other as I've loved you." Jesus presents this kind of loving discipleship as a command and thus normal for all Christians. So I'm going to argue that discipling is a normal expectation for all believers. To either be discipled or be discipling or both. That's going to be one of my fundamental tenets for this hour. It's just fundamental to the Christian life and scriptures. An application for you, as you think about it, being a counselor, you're dealing with people who are not doing well. And so I'll grant you that there are plenty of people, they just need to actually get a hold of their life and deal with their junk. And yet, a couple of questions for you to think about. Are you the only one investing in their life? Are you the only one with a deep investment? Well, this gets into this category of, are there others in your church culture who are coming alongside you or that person to help them with their life? That's what we're talking about discipling. Or, for you as a counselor, do you have an expectation like I just set out? I don't care who they are in your church. They should be either being discipled or discipling someone